We have a special group here from Amsterdam sharing with us today named Master's Commission. They're going to share a little bit more about who they are and also about what God has done in their lives.
We are very happy and very excited to be here and very thankful to Matt that he invited us. I'm going to share a little bit of my story to encourage you with what God has done for me. And in the end, I'm going to talk a little bit about the school and invite you to check it out. So I'm Czech. I'm from Czech Republic. And yay! And it's been 6 years ago when I decided to follow Christ. And I studied at my university at that time. My family is not Christian, or they were not at that moment. We had Catholic background, so we didn't know much how to live Christian life. But two of my sisters, they started to believe, and I saw in them something else, something more. And when I was 22, I received Christ, and I started to follow him. But I was in a relationship for 5 years, and I was engaged to a man who didn't know God. And I studied, and I finished my degree, and I was offered to go to teach at a private school for a really good amount of money. So everything was set for a perfect and happy life, right? You have money, you have job, you finish your education, and you just are about to marry. But God has something else for me. And he had something better for me, which I didn't know, I didn't see at the time. So what he asked me to do, he asked me to break up the relationship and follow him to unknown. And I was like, God, are you really asking me to do that? Are you really asking me to do the sacrifice and be willing to step into something that I really don't know what is it? So I cried a lot, and I cried day and night, and it was weeks that I was just crying, and I did the step, I broke the relationship, and I started to work at a church for half a month of money than I would get in the private school. So I got in a church, I got into church, I was working for the church, and one day it was offered to come to Norway to a Bible school. I was like, great, it's a great opportunity to just move, you know. And at the very moment, I had to call them if I can go. My pastor told me, sorry, you cannot go because we don't have no replacement for you at the job. We have nobody who can replace you. And that was morning. And like deep in me, I had a peace. I was like, God, you have something more. You have something more than what people say around me. And it was like 1 o'clock after like lunch. And my pastor came again and he said, yeah, you can go. And I was like, what? I can go? You just told me I can't. Yeah, because there is one lady who was in a maternity leave for 3 years. In Czech, you can have maternity leave for 3 years. It's amazing, isn't it? If you want to move there with your children. But yeah, so she, at the very moment I wanted to leave for Norway, this lady came, and she was working. She was used to work there before, so they had to hire her. So they had suddenly one person that needed to come in and one person that wanted to go out. So this is how I got into Norway in one day. And like, God, this is really amazing what you're doing with my life. Didn't expect that. So what happened that I got to know a lot of people. I got to know a lot of about God, a lot of about myself. Really enjoyed that time in Norway. We traveled a lot. We preached the gospel. We went to Italy. We saw 40 young people coming to Christ. We spoke at the street of Oslo. We were dancing. We were doing crazy stuff. And we were traveling a lot. I was like, God, this is the life you had for me. And I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And I was really thankful. So what happened after that was that the school was so good. They offered me second year to study there. They would pay for me everything. They would pay accommodation and food. And I would just be the leader of, you know, like this summer team for 300 people, and it just sounds so good, you know. And then my pastor is coming and asking me, hey, there is this school in Amsterdam. Do you want to go there? It costs 4,000 euros. And I was like, Martin, are you serious? I have no money. And this school is offering me such a great deal, and I have friends there, and I don't know anyone in Amsterdam and I have no money and I have to pay 4,000 euros. Do you want me to go to unknown again? Like with dropping everything behind me again and going to the unknown again. And I said, okay, let me pray for it. So I prayed. And deep in the prayer, deep with the God in the prayer, you know what is right. You will know what is right. And when I prayed, I received such a peace to go to Amsterdam and such unrest to stay in Oslo. And I didn't understand it because it didn't make sense in my head. But God put something in my heart and I had to follow. So I said to the leaders in Oslo, I'm sorry, I'm leaving and I'm going to Amsterdam. So the very summer I was about to raise the money, 4,000 euros. Can you imagine, like in Czech economy, you cannot make this money. Never ever in two months. So I was like, God, I'm just following you, but you have to take care of my needs and my desires. And he did. So when my pastor came, he's like just the figure in the background. He's coming and leaving. But he came and he said, I have a job for you. You can get 2,000 euros and they will pay you in advance. So I took the job of translating and they paid me in advance. So I was able to send the 2,000 euros to the school and go to Amsterdam. So I'm like, God, you show me again when I take step of faith to unknown that you're going to provide. You're going to provide everything. But the school is not cheap, and I stayed for 3 years. So you can imagine the depth, right? You're just going 2,000 euros, 4,000 euros, 6,000 euros. And I'm like, great God, but what about this now? What about this money now? And I was praying for a job. But I was wise. I prayed for a good paid job. I was like, God, you have to give me not just a job, but a very good paid job that I can pay all my debts. So one day I went to this Hilton hotel and asking for a job. And they were like, okay, send us our CV. So I did, and they hired me. And I have a really good paid job in the Hilton hotel. And was just last month, I paid all my debts. So now I'm without any debts, standing here in front of you, being really happy for what God has done for me. And just wanted to encourage you that the sacrifice you're making in your life to follow God, God will pay you like 3 times, 4 times, 5 times more, and he will do much more than you can even imagine for your life. Because like this verse for you that's really speaking to me, it's amazing. And it's not easy one, I'm aware of that, but whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So if you are willing to sacrifice for your life, for God, your pleasures for a moment, and that God will see your heart being willing to follow him, he will give you such amazing things that you even couldn't wish for yourself because you didn't even know that you want them. So this is my story, to follow, to go to the unknown and follow the very known God. You can go to the unknown with the very present you know, with Jesus. So encourage you, if you feel stuck in your life, if you feel something needs to move, that you need to move, that you're not just happy, just pray, take the step with God, and he will be faithful to you.
Hi, guys. So my name is Binja. I come from Belgium, and I'm going to speak a little bit about my story. I can say that I'm a little bit stressed, but God is with me. God is able. Okay. So I'm born in a Christian home. My dad is a pastor. My mom, she's like wake up at 6 in the morning and pray and wake up everybody because she's prayer with like powerful woman of prayer. And we went to the prayer to the church every Sunday. I was with the children like growing, and like all my best friends, I found them in this church. Then I went to the youth. I was there also, and then I was involved with the like one of the youth leader, and I was also involved with the children, with the worship team. So I was like my testimony is more like there was a process for me to know God, and like step by step, I was like knew more about God and being more close with God and want more of God. And God was just my passion. And yeah, so I can't just stop there and say like, this is my testimony, I'm born Christian, and I'm going to die Christian, and I love God. But I had also like this image of like, I was in my family and we like very, very close with each other, like very spoke, very like, if I had a bad day, my dad can see on my face and he just like say, okay, Binja, sit down and explain me what's going on. And we just speak a lot and like very close with each other. But when I grow up, when I was grow, yeah, my English is not so good, but I try to have a good English. So, yeah, I have a big brother, and when I was like 5, it was very all the time in trouble, like all the time, like not going to the school, like start with like not going to the school and not coming back for home in the time, and like going for like 1 month, we don't know where he is, and then coming back to the house, and then going back again for 2 months, and we don't know where he's my big brother. And for me, that was just like that, like growing like that. And when he was like going to some friends, who was like, okay, so how was Wani, or what's going on with him? And he was like, yeah, he's cool, but we didn't know nothing about him, like what's happening in his life, where he's living, and like what's he doing. I don't have like one good memories with my big brother. And when so I was in this family with my family, and my mom and my dad was like fighting a little bit about that. Like my dad was very like, no, he needs to come back. And my mom was like, no, we're going to speak with him. He's going to change. You will see. And so that was very like difficult. And my mom was very like, speak with me like as a friend, and like, Binja, you know, I really want to him to come back. And me, I was like very, like my mom, like very strong and very like, okay, mom, it's okay, we're going to do this. He's going to come back, God is with us. And I was just like, that's cool. And so my mom just like gave me all in my bag and was like, okay. So I was all the time with my little brother and my sister, like doing the homework with them and like doing food for them, like all the time be with them. And I was just like, yeah, because I'm getting it, because I'm in the control of everything. Everything's gonna be cool, and you will see, it's gonna come back, mom. Don't worry, I'm on that. It's gonna be cool. And my brother like was more bad, like going to the jail, and like then my parents were like, okay, we just like you do so a lot of bad stuff, so you're gonna go to for the Congo, for my original country, for 2 years. And me, I was just like, wow, like, that's okay. God's going to do stuff, and it's going to be cool. And my mom was just crying all the time. And my dad was like, you will see, it's going to be cool. And beside that, I was like very, very loving God and very like, okay, God, I really want to serve you. I really want to do a lot of things for you. So I'm going to go to this Bible school because I really want to like speak about your love, going to the street and speak about how much I love you. And so I've been to this Bible school, and I was like praying, like, God, I want to change the world. I want going to the streets. And then God just come and say, like, okay, Binja, I know that you want to do that, and you want to do that for me. I know that you want to see my glory in this situation and this situation, but me, I want to fix your heart. I know that you're very broken. I know that you cry alone in your womb, and then you're just going back to your mom and say everything is okay, but everything is not okay, and you don't have to fake to with me, like, I know you more than you know yourself. And for me, I was like, wow. Like, I was just hiding and just, like, want to put this, just like, no, that's okay. I'm going to change the world. And for my brother, yeah, he will come to Christ one day. But I'm going to change the world. I was just like, yeah, God. And God was like, wait. Before to change the world, me, I want to change you. Me, I want to change your heart. Me, I want to take this bag and take on my bag, you know. And so I start to cry a lot. Like, that was just like, wow. And so now I, like, the end of my testimony is not like, yeah, and then my brother called me and say, you know what, Binja, I'm Christian, and now I'm going to start a church, and I know that I'm a pastor. No, the end of my testimony is like, I still don't speak a lot with my big brother. We don't have this kind of a relationship. I still need to take a step and start something and start to know where he is actually and what's he doing. And what's going on in his mind, and I still need also to like give everything to God and give the control to God for every situation in my life. I still need to know that I can be real with God, and still need to know that God knows me more than myself. So if I want to encourage you, I would encourage you to, I'm sure some people, they like very want to follow God and they like burn for God and they want to change the world and everything, but they still have like someone in the family that they still pray, or you just don't care anymore, or you just like, yeah, I don't know, but I just want to encourage you that God's going to do something in your life, God's going to do something in your family, and stay praying. And when you hear some story like, yeah, and then my big brother will become Christian, and you like that, yeah, me too, I have a big brother, but he's not Christian yet. I just want to encourage you that in those situations, the glory of God will be bigger. So this is my testimony. Have a good day.
So I'm glad to be here and see you all. We got to spend some time with a few of you, and you're really hospitable people, and so keep on doing that. That's great. My story is that I grew up in a broken family. My mom was a believer, but she didn't practice or live her faith out. And so when I was home, like, I didn't have the example that goes with what she would say. But so I grew up knowing I should pray every day, and there was a God out there who loves me. But like, I didn't have the example that followed that. And my dad was actually absent. And as I grew up until I was 10, it was kind of okay. There would just be maybe tensions at home. I would kind of sense that my dad has a strong character, but that would be about it. And I would think that's maybe a cultural thing, so I was okay with it. And starting 10, my dad started to slip away and be more and more absent and drink more and more. And by the time I was a teenager, my dad was almost never there. He was like spending his time at the cafe, and there were more tensions at home, more conflicts, and it became really unbearable. And so when I was about 15 years old, like, everything became too much for me to handle. Like, my dad like was drinking while he was driving, so he crashed a few cars. We had problems with money because my dad was just not responsible. He was really not with us anymore. And it came to a point that I remember one time we were sitting in the living room watching the TV, and my dad was on his computer. And I remember my mom came by him and realized that he was actually writing an email to his mistress while we were all sitting together. And for us as children, that was too much. And so we told our mom, we're like, what are you expecting more? Like, what are you waiting more of? Because it's becoming unbearable at home. So that's when the process of divorce started. And the divorce in itself, for me, was not a problem. It's more what everything that came up with that. And there was a lot of conflict. And at that time of my life, I was like, well, if God doesn't care about me, well, what should I even care about God? So that's when I started to slowly drift away from like God, even though like I didn't really know God, didn't really live with him. And I remember that was also a moment in my life that like, there were things that were going on in me. There were sins that I was leaving. And God started to put questions in my heart. And I was like, actually, how do I know if I'm going to go to hell or to heaven? Like, how do I know if I'm saved? Like, what's going on? What's coming after life? And so I just started asking questions to my mom, starting reading my Bible. And I felt really convinced of my sin. But because I had such a bad view of my relationship with my father, I had a really terrible view of God. So I really believed for a year that the only reason why God told me about my sin was that he wanted me to live a life freaking out until I go to hell. Basically, that's really how I sense it. I really felt a lot of anger and hatred from God. That's how I lived for a year. So for 1 year, I was like, I need to get out of my sin, but really trying with my strength because I really felt condemned. And I remember it was on a Friday. I was going to go to a youth conference that weekend, and I was like, God, that's too much. And I was really hitting the bottom, and I was like, I can't do that anymore. Like, I can't do that by my strength. If you don't show me your love, I just can't follow you. I know it's the right way to take, but I can't do it by myself. And so I went to that conference, and during that conference, our school was serving there. And God just spoke to me a lot through them, and just worked a lot of things in my heart. And he also like taught me to forgive, because there was a preaching who was saying that hurt people, and so it made me understand my father more, and I've been able to forgive him. And since that moment, I came from the place where I thought that I was really like nothing, really, that no one noticed me, that no one cares about me, that I'm just like non-existent, to the point where God just showed me that he really loves me and he's really there for me. And at times, like, it happens that I even still struggle with that thought that, okay, well, God does not even notice me even though I'm here. But like, God is really present for every single one of us, every single one of you. And you might think that no one like cares about you and no one notices you, but God loves you. And something that has been really encouraging me lately, it's a verse in Romans 5 that says like how God gave his son while we were still like sinners, while we were still walked against God. So while we hated God and we didn't care about God, God decided to give all he had, like the most precious thing he had, so he could forgive you and so he could be reconciled with you and live for eternity with you. And so that's my encouragement for you today. Maybe, I don't know what situation you are in, but just remember that even when we hated God, even when we didn't have anything to do with God, God gave all that he had so he could be with you and forgive you. And I'm really impressed how like God bring me to places. Sometimes I don't even think that's me, and how he uses me sometimes to speak to people. And I've been able to see like God working in people's life. And sometimes I had that thought like, why that person, God? And God was like, because I want everyone. I love everyone. I want everyone to be saved. I love everyone. And that struck me. So today I want you to know that God wants you and God loves you no matter who you are. Really, no matter who you are.
I'm 23 years old. I'm a third year at Master's Commission in Amsterdam Noord. And I'm going to share a little bit about my story. I can't share too much because I could give a seminar on my testimony. So I'm just going to give you a few highlights. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. My mom, she believed in God. My grandma, she would take me to church. But I had experienced a lot of darkness as a kid. When I was 6 years old, I started being human trafficked. It went on till I was 14 years old, until the cops got involved. I was taken out of my family, and all that craziness began to happen. My uncle, who was my trafficker, he was into Satanism. So as a kid, I was introduced to a lot of spiritual ritual abuse. So I understood growing up that there was a God. I believed in Jesus. I knew he was alive. I would talk to him. He would talk to me. I knew it, no shadow of a doubt. But I witnessed a lot of Satanism, and I knew demons, and I knew Satan. I knew he was alive. And for me growing up, I was like, these two, Jesus and the devil, they're at it with each other. They're fighting with each other, and I want nothing to do with that. That's all them. I'm going to live my life. Life sucks anyways, so I'm just going to be a little kid growing up in the country. This is life. Didn't want no part of it. But when I was 14, the cops found out, like I said, and that's when I found out it wasn't normal, because I grew up thinking, everyone told me, all the other kids involved in the trafficking ring, all the other grown-ups, the prostitutes, they said, Candace, this is life. And I was like, man, this is crazy. This is life? I remember 8 years old thinking, this is what life is? This sucks. Why does anyone be alive? Why? What's the point of this? So I'm 14 years old, the cops take me out, I run away, I'm like, whatever, I'm going to do what I want to do. So I decided the best thing would to be join a gang and sell drugs. So I did that till I was 17 years old. In Texas, I'm really by Mexico, so I grew up in a lot of Mexican games like MS-13, Mexican Mafia, Crips, that type of stuff. I grew up, I was involved with it, I became a gang member, I did what I had to do to survive. I was homeless, I sold drugs, I made drugs, I was really bad, I robbed. I mean, I was the kid that you told your kids, if I ever see you hanging out with her, you're grounded for a year. I was that kid. But I wasn't bad, I was just hurting and I had no guidance. So when I was 17 years old, fast forward, I'm 17 years old, I'm bad. I have a short haircut, I have gang tattoos on me. I'm wearing boxers, saggy pants. Like, I walk in a store, the people run away from me. I just go in there and grab stuff, put it in my pocket. I don't even have to pay, and the people don't even care at the store because they're like, as long as she doesn't get violent with us, we're fine. Like, I was that person. And my counselor at the time, because I was court-ordered to see a counselor, she said, Candace, I really think martial arts will help you. I think if you go do martial arts, it'll help you with your anger problem. And I'm like, douche! I don't have an anger problem! I'm fine! So anyways, I go to this martial arts studio. I walk in, and the night before, I had gotten into a fight with this guy over some weed, and he stabbed me in my hand. So I walk into this dojo, and I have a stab wound right here. You can still see the scar if you want to see it. And the martial arts guy, he's this Puerto Rican dude. He turns around, and he says, hey, it's a stab wound in your hand. And I said, no, it's not. I fell. And he said, I'm from the Bronx, New York. I know a stab wound when I see it. And I'm like, all right, respect. This guy knows. He knows what's up. So I begin to do martial arts. And I loved it. Anytime the dojo was open, anytime there was jiu-jitsu, judo, aikido, anything, I was in there and I was practicing and I was the gloves on and I was fighting and I was cage fighting and I loved it. And my sensei, my teacher, Rick, the Puerto Rican guy, he was a Christian, and his wife, Elena, who grew up in South America, she was a Christian. And before every practice and after every practice, they would preach the gospel to me. And they would tell me about Jesus and how much he loved me. And I would, yeah, Jesus, I know him. He loves me, right? Okay, you don't know my story. But I'll let you think that. It's good. And every practice, the same thing. Candace, you know Jesus loves you and he has a calling over your life. You can do amazing things. Sure. Okay, I'm going to go smoke weed. You have fun. Every time, it didn't matter. They just repeated the same thing. Just told me about the love of Christ, the love of Christ. And one night, I was on a dojo mat, and I just witnessed my mom, well, Elena. They ended up adopting me, so now they're my parents, so now y'all know. But before they adopted me, they just spoke the love of Christ, like I said. And I saw a light in them that I never saw in anyone before. I saw hope, I saw love, I saw a light. And I needed to know what that was. So I asked them, what's that light? And Elena, she said, that's Jesus. Do you want to know him? And I said, no, I don't. I tell you this all the time. I don't want to know him. I want nothing to do with him. Keep your Jesus to yourself. I got my drugs. It's fine. But I just remember being very broken and coming to a point in my life where if I didn't make a change, I was going to end up dead or I was going to end up in prison. There was no other option for me. It was death or prison. Most of the kids I grew up with came from the same background as me, and most of them are dead to this day. They're gone. They're dead. They're in prison. I'm one of the only ones out of all the group I grew up with that is still alive. And there was 16 of us living in one house, and most of them are dead. So I decided on this little dojo mat that I was going to accept Jesus, and I did. And that's when my journey began. I was 17, 18 years old. I accept Jesus into my heart, and he just began to completely change me. Rick and Elena, they ended up adopting me. I lived in the dojo. They begin to pour into my life and test me and take me on this path and this journey of healing that I'm still on today. But now I'm 23. I'm old, I know. I'm 23. I live in Amsterdam. And I work with women and prostitutes in the red light district. You know, prostitution is legal in Amsterdam and other places in the world. But I go, I sit in a window with them, I chill with them, I hang out with them. If they're trafficked, I get them. I do this, and other people in our organization, we do this because we understand brokenness and we understand darkness. And before I ever knew the love of God, before I ever knew the love of Jesus, before I ever understood his grace and his mercy, I understood the dark place that this world can give. I understood the brokenness and the heaviness of wanting to end your life and feeling hopeless and purposeless and just, what's the point? I understood that before I ever knew Jesus. But I met him and he completely changed my life 110%. If I showed you pictures of what I looked like when I was 17, you wouldn't believe it. If I showed you pictures of what I looked like when I was 18, 19, you wouldn't believe it. But I made a choice. I made a decision. All right, God. All right, Jesus. Your word says you love me. Then you better show me. You say you have a plan for me? Cool. Then you better show me. I don't want to hear what a pastor has to say, God, Jesus. I don't want to hear what, honestly, I don't want to hear what your word has to say. I want you to come down here and you tell me what's up. You tell me. You created this world. You created me from dirt. Cool. Then you come down, you interfere, and you tell me what you want from me. You tell me what all this means. And he did. He showed up, and he broke me, and he molded me, and he's still breaking me, and he's still molding me. But my encouragement for you is if you're in that place, I don't know your story. I don't need to. I know mine. I know hurt. I know pain. Traffic, non-traffic. You grew up in a Christian family. Your daddy wasn't around. You got beat. I know it. I know hurt. I know pain. I know tears. But I encourage you, the best thing you can do with your life is to chase after God. Not chase after your pastor. Not chase after being on Sunday service singing songs. Chase after God himself, Jesus. And live your life according to his word, and he will take you places. I live in Europe. That's crazy. I didn't even graduate high school. I got a GED from some little center that they send all the bad kids because they don't want to put them in regular school. Like, I was there, and now I'm two semesters away from graduating with a bachelor's in psychology and theology. Like, I should not do what I do. But I know that God has called me to work with people that are broken, to work with women that are hurt. My encouragement for you, wherever you are, chase after God. Forget school, forget all that. Because the most important thing is God. If he created you from dust. He knew you in your mother's womb. The most important thing you could do with your life is chase after him and know him. Because if you're not doing that, then what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're living a life just like everyone else. And if you're a Christian, you're called to live greatness. You're called to be phenomenal. So my encouragement for you is be phenomenal. Be great. We all have greatness in us. Let God take that and just let him bring you to just a new place of just awesomeness. Because that's what he's done for me. So thank you for letting me speak.